true disciple is, you could ask it this way: what does a disciple look like? The better way to ask that is how does he live? Because when you ask, what does a true disciple look like? We're not talking about external issues. Externally, a disciple doesn't necessarily look like anything in particular. There's no particular biblical model for physical appearance and what you look like. No particular hairstyle, no particular clothing style, no particular taste in music. But the reality of it is there are a lot of groups, a lot of individuals that end up making much out of those issues. In fact, for some, they become the criteria by which you judge or the standard by which you judge someone's walk with the Lord. Romans 14, though, makes it clear that the kingdom of God doesn't consist of those kinds of things. So instead of focusing on something external and something superficial when it comes to criteria by which to define discipleship, we're looking at principles, biblical principles that supersede culture, principles that are beyond epics of history and personal opinions, principles that help us understand what Christ requires of us because we look at him and we see the kind of life that he lived. And he told us to follow him. So what would it mean then to follow him? And we have looked at the reality that that means, first of all, a life of holiness. Second, we talked about a life of humility, that Christ models that for us. Third, we discussed that being a true disciple means that you're living a life of suffering. That goes along with being a disciple. And fourth, our last two times together, we touched on a life of perseverance. Well, tonight I want to briefly take you through some thoughts, and I'll complete them then next time. But at least some of the thoughts related to this fifth characteristic of a true disciple, what discipleship looks like, true discipleship, the call to follow Christ. Number five, it's a life of heavenly thinking, a life of heavenly thinking. Jesus was heavenly minded, or to put it another way, he was not characterized by being earthly minded, if you want to say that in a negative sense. I think of his high priestly prayer when in John 17, where Christ is praying to the Father. We don't find him earthly minded, though he's ministering on the earth, though he has disciples that live on the earth. You find some key insight statements about Christ in his prayer in John 17, verse 4 and 5, for example. He's praying to the Father, I've glorified thee on the earth. That's where I'm ministering, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And that's a reference to where he came from. He was in heaven before earth. He was enjoying the glory of heaven there. In fact, Philippians 2 reminds us of that same fact, that here he was equal with God, and yet he humbled himself by leaving all the privileges and prerogatives of equality within the Godhead. And he humbled himself to come to earth on a mission. But the whole time he's here, he has not lost sight of the fact that this is not his home. He is from heaven. And so he reminds us of the glory that he held there and enjoyed there. Verse 12, while I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture must be fulfilled. So he says, while I was with them. In other words, he realizes his mission's about over. And he's going to leave the earth because this is not really his home. There was a temporary nature to his mission. Verse 13, but now I come to thee. So he knows he's returning back to the Father. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So he now even references his followers and says that they're really not of this world either. They're of this other world. Verse 18, as thou didst send me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Same idea. Christ was sent into the world from his true home. His disciples are sent into the home, into the world, from their true home. Acts chapter 1, we find Christ returning. In chapter 1 of Acts, verse 11, his disciples there were gazing intently into the sky while they saw Christ departing from them. And so an angel says in verse 11, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. So he's taken up into heaven because that's his home. That's his realm. And he will come again in the same way from there. Just to summarize some of his statements in the Gospels, he's continually saying things and making the case that his purpose here was to do the will of his Father in heaven, his heavenly Father. He understood he was on a mission. He understood that this was not his ultimate home. Though he certainly doesn't condemn or teach against us owning things in this world, he goes into people's homes and sups with them, fellowships with them. He doesn't tell them to get rid of their possessions in that sense. Nevertheless, he himself, Matthew 8:20, Jesus said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He knew his mission was very temporary. So my point is, we are in this world, but we are to live in such a way that we're maintaining this mindset that we're not of it. We remember that this is not our home. We're coming up to this verse in Colossians sometime soon on Sunday morning. Colossians 1:13. "For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." So there's another reference that we are in this world, but this is a domain. This is a kingdom that we're not really part of. We're temporary here. At salvation, we were transferred into another kingdom. So salvation, or becoming a disciple, is being rescued from one kingdom and placed into another kingdom. Or to say it another way biblically, we become citizens of another realm. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. I just want to talk about this. Although it's actually 3:20. I knew that didn't sound right. Philippians 3:20. We are citizens of another realm. That's another way that the Bible describes us being in this world. We're on a mission, but we're not of it, just like Christ. Philippians 3:20. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, because our citizenship is in heaven, then the point of Scripture is that our thinking then should correspond to that. We should be characterized by heavenly thinking. And then our lifestyle should match our citizenship. Our lifestyle flows out of our thinking. We act based upon how we think, the thoughts and motives of the heart. Our behavior comes out of that. And so we are to be thinking heavenly, thinking about our heavenly citizenship, and then living a lifestyle that matches that citizenship. And the ways of the kingdom, our citizenship there, the ways of the kingdom of our citizenship run counter to the ways of society. Different sets of rules, different guidelines, different parameters. To say it another way, there is nothing in the life of a believer that is not touched, that is untouched, you could say, by the laws of this new kingdom, by the laws of the country where we truly live. Nothing in our life is to be untouched by those laws, by what heaven represents, spiritual things, the realm of God. And the beginning point is our thinking. And so disciples are not to set their minds on earthly things. We have to cognitively deal with earthly things, but setting your mind on means something more than that. It means setting your affection on them. So setting your thinking, so setting your focus that your affections are going with that. That's the idea of setting your mind on that. So our thinking, our setting the mind, is not to be on earthly things. Instead, we are to set our mind on heaven because that's our home. That's how disciples are to go through life in this world, being heavenly minded. Why? Because of that verse 20. That's where our citizenship is. Now, there's a reason Paul is using this word with the Philippians. Philippi, the city, was actually a colony of Rome. And the register of its citizens was kept in Rome, the mother city. So there's a massive master register there with the names of all the Roman citizens, including Roman citizens living in this town of Philippi. As far as the church goes, most likely only a minority of the people in this church were really citizens of Rome, actually were able to possess this citizen status. But still, they would know about it. The constitution of the city would be very well known to these people, even those who didn't hold citizenship in the Roman Empire. So known that Paul could speak in these terms. It was something they all understood. Citizenship. Some had it in Rome. Some did not, but they understood it. So Paul is saying that heaven is our true homeland, not this world. And if you look at it theologically from Scripture, it's from heaven that we're born. Scripture says that we're born again, and as I preached on that a long time ago here, we're born from above. Our birth is something heavenly. We have interests that are being promoted there in heaven as Christ intercedes for us. We pray to Him. It's to heaven our prayers ascend. We have loved ones who have gone before us that are there. We have an eternal inheritance that's there. Our mansions are being prepared there. There's one key word in Philippians 3:20, I think. And it's the state of being verb. For our citizenship is in heaven. He doesn't say that our citizenship someday will be in heaven. That's our citizenship now. We are citizens of heaven, even though we are presently living on this earth. Now, we get insight into that again in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says we're spiritually dead in Ephesians 2. But God, in His mercy and great love, when we were dead in our sins, made us alive together with Christ. And it says in Ephesians 2, verse 6, that He has seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So there's that wonderful theological phrase, in Christ Jesus. We are in Him, seated in heaven with Him in heavenly places even now. That's how God views us. We are there in Christ. Sojourning here, the Bible speaks in those terms. Strangers here, the Bible speaks in those terms. We are pilgrims. That kind of terminology, sojourners, strangers, pilgrims, the Bible uses that, God uses that to talk to about His people, to describe them because of this principle of where our real citizenship is. We live on earth, but in a spiritual sense, we are citizens of heaven even right now. And as I've already alluded to, it has to do with our birth. We answer questions like that here in this world. You know, we ask, where are you from? And, you know, people don't know for certain whether you mean literally where I was born. That might be one answer. Where I grew up, that might be an answer. Another answer, where I've been living the last, 10 years of my life. Maybe that's what you mean. And for some people, it's several different answers. You know, there's a few out there that it's all the same answer. You know, born here, raised here, and I live here. I was born in Illinois, and I was raised in Texas. The last 16 years of my life in California. Now I'm planted here. So where's my home? See? Well, theologically, biblically, if somebody asks us that question, where's home? What should we say? It'd be a good conversation piece. Heaven. Well, I know, but, you know, that's my home. That's my home. And we became that way by birth. There are people that can become citizens of the United States. I've known people that have been born out of the country. They come here and they go through some process. Maybe it's filling out naturalization papers and pursuing some process that way. Maybe it's some other legal procedure. The difference is, biblically, about what I'm referring to is, those people don't change. They go through a legal process. They're still the same people they were, just living in this country. We haven't had to pay any fees for this citizenship, a price. We didn't become disciples even by just making a decision, as some have tried to say. It's not just a decision. We are citizens of heaven because we were born again. We experienced a new birth, and it's a birth where literally we're born in that kingdom. That's where we're born. So an individual who's a follower of Christ is someone who's come to trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's someone who's been given this new life from the kingdom of heaven. They experienced a spiritual birth, and they have spiritual life where before they were spiritually dead. That's who a disciple is. And so we're to have our minds constantly on our homeland. I mean, there's some degree of that happens here. Someone moves from one place to another, and there's always that pull, that tie, something about their loved ones, their friends, where they were raised. There's that place in their heart, you know, for their homeland, so to speak. Interacted with many, many people in seminary who came from other countries. And there was always that mind that they had on their homeland. Well, we're to have our mind set on our homeland. We're to be homesick, even. We're to seek to live by the laws, then, of that land, the land of our spiritual birth. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, we'll get to that someday in Colossians. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and to set our mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Maybe just one more thing I'll say about Philippians 3:20, and I think I'll maybe flesh that out a little bit more next time. When we talk about setting our mind on things above, when we talk about being heavenly minded, that verse in Philippians 3:20 said one more thing. For our citizenship is in heaven right now. That's our home. From which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus. He came from heaven, sojourned here on the earth on a mission, just like we are. He went back to his homeland, and there he is, ruling and reigning and ever interceding for us, our great high priest. And so it's from there, just like Acts said, now this says it again, it's from there that he comes. We eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of this heavenly thinking of a true disciple is looking forward to the coming of the Lord. That is to be something that characterizes our thinking. It's real easy to get so tied in to the world and so caught up in the mission, even the good things of the mission, that we forget that we're true citizens of another land.